Thank you very much, Richard. Wasn't that something? Wow. I told him that no matter how well he did, I would just say, I've never heard anything like that before. It's kind of like, isn't that a cute baby? Oh, there's a baby. All right. Just a moment. Just mind me. Just allow me this, will you? Just a moment. Music accompanies every public interaction between God from Genesis to Revelation. Between God and mankind, it's always accompanied by music. Not between God and prophets, between his people, but between God and mankind, always accompanied by music. What do you suppose that is? May mean he wants to get our attention. So think about this a minute. That concept that we just heard now, that God's a fortress, he is our guide, he is our protector, we will rule with him, it depends on how you take that emotionally, mentally. We'll show them. They won't bend down and pray to Jesus Christ. We'll break their knees. How many have heard that? You betcha. That's not the way it's going to be. Bottom line to it is, we're going to kind of round this out. I really appreciated Mr. Brenner's concept here. By the way, let me just tell you about Mr. Brenner. Maybe he doesn't know this. First of all, I don't understand the Hebrew stuff at the front. It was Greek to me. So, if you have ever been friends with an Orthodox Jewish person, they are the most ethical and capable and very deeply repentant and concerned people. They are wonderful members of society. So he didn't tell you that. Because you know what? They are mostly concerned about their behavior before the living God. I really wish I was that concerned. They are amazing people, just not completely informed. We're going to try to round that out. No, really, I mean it. You know, I'm going to try to round that out. There is a miracle of life. We wouldn't be here. We would probably not be dust. We wouldn't exist at all. There would be no thought of us if it weren't for God allowing a creation, creating a creation, and creating us from it. And what happened is that he gave us something he didn't give the animals. He's given us the ability to understand ourselves and to him. But maybe we can round this out a little bit today. Because starting in the Garden of Eden, the life that human beings have been given, and I don't mean just the temporal physical life that we understand, but the life that human beings have been given, been opened up to them, started them in the Garden of Eden. You say, well, no, you know, eternal life was given with the Spirit. Wait. In the garden was a tree. There were two trees, but let's talk about the one. In the garden was a tree of what? Life. You mean to tell me they could have had eternal life? Well, what did they say to each other? We now know that they have become like us, knowing good and evil, or understanding, or men deciding what's good and evil, taking that to themselves. And we have to eject them from the garden unless they take of the tree and what? Live forever. So eternal life was available from the beginning, and obviously, repentance wasn't necessary until there was sin. That didn't take long. We have no idea how long, but it didn't take long. So there was a tree. Take note of this. There was a tree in the garden. And there was one God family member on earth. Okay. Now, there are new lives in here. God is creating new creatures, new life in here. There's more love. There's more hope. There's more faith than there was yesterday on this planet. It's in you. It's growing. And that life, we're told on Passover, should bear fruit. like a tree. These lives that are on earth, that are to bear fruit of the way of life of God, not of themselves, are trees of life. The tree of life was in Eden, and we'll see in a moment the trees of life, trees, plural, are in the kingdom, in the millennium. Government of God on earth. What about now? So this is titled The Trees of Life. The trees, plural, of life. So let's start here. First point. Want to write it down? It's up to you. Let's go to Genesis 2, though. Genesis 2. I have to find out where the book of Genesis is again. I'm used to a computer, and I don't know. All right. So Genesis 2, go to that. Here's the first point. The fruit, not plural, the fruit of God is in select humans right now. We're going somewhere with this. The fruit of God, the DNA, if you will, of the Father, the essence of the living God is in some humans right now. Genesis 2, verse 9. Genesis 2, 9. I found it. Genesis 2, 9. And out of the ground, Genesis 2, 9. Out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So it started there. Right away, God was making the tree of life available. Well, right. Okay. There will be trees of life in the kingdom. Want to see it? Revelation 22. Let's go back there. See, we went all the way from Genesis to Revelation, and I haven't even taken up a lot of time. How about that? Genesis to Revelation. Revelation 22, not 20, verse 2, but Genesis 22, chapter 22. There will be trees of life in the kingdom. Genesis 22, verse 2. Genesis 22, 2. Well, I'll start in 1. Genesis 22, 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. A water of life. Wow. Proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life. That's an interesting way of phrasing that, isn't it? On either side of the river was the tree, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. And each tree bore these 12 fruits. So it was one tree of life that bore the fruit of God in the garden. And there was one member of the God family on earth then. Here we see sort of a, what, system of trees? By the way, you know trees talk to each other? Did you know that? No, really, no. They're I'm being funny. The trees' roots go out into the forest. They literally connect. They have communication. So this is a system of trees. Multiple ones, each tree. That's what it says there. Would there be more than one God family member on earth then? Oh. And they're bearing fruit that's for the healing of the nations. Okay. Let's go back to the first psalm. those who are of God. Those who are of God are likened to trees planted by God's river of life. When I say those who are of God, let's play with that word a minute. This is the church by God. This is the church in God. This is the church that God has. No, this is the church, what? Of God. It's a church of God. Now, it's another subject, but Christ said, I'll build my church, and then it's the church of God. Another whole subject, but they are one, and the general idea is they are one in agreement. So the Father, what? Created all things by Jesus Christ, and nothing that was created was not created by him. The church is of God. So what are you? Well, you have a choice. I have a choice. I don't have to be of God. I don't have to. I can get cut off in traffic and not be of God very fast. There's a woman sitting in the front row that's witness to this. I don't want to be in the car right now. Okay, all right. Don't know who she's talking to, but that does happen. But when we are of God, that doesn't mean we're of ourselves, does it? Would it mean that? No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean we're of ourselves. Well, do you mean I don't get credit? You know. We'll see that. No. But I have righteousness in me. Huh? That's right. It's in us. Seek you first the kingdom, as Jerry said. Seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness. Well, yeah, but, you know, he makes me righteous. Actually, no. Righteousness lives in you. You are of God. We do not originate righteousness. Well, but Christ was good. Oh, yeah? Remember the young man who came to him and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He didn't answer that question. He said, don't call me good. As a human being, you do not originate good. You do not originate righteousness. I don't. Anybody in here wants to tell me they did and do? Sorry, can't be done. Why not? We're not God, that's why. But we are of God, which is unique. And that's why Christ said, bear fruit. Look at this, Psalm 1, verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed, separated, given of God, blessings, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. There are three things here. You don't stand in the path of sinners. I'm standing with these guys. No, you don't do that. Right? You don't walk with those in iniquity. You don't enjoy this society. And you certainly don't sit there with people who are scornful. And by the way, in case you haven't noticed the way it works in communication, in marketing, and in groups like politics, if you want to win something, get a bunch of people together against something. Boy, is it easy to get people together against something. Want to break up a church? Get a bunch of people together against something. They'll leave. They won't agree with each other, but they're against something. How about a third of the angels being told, you know what, we don't like the way that the Father, the God, the great God, wants to make inferior beings that will die to ultimately rule over us? We have to fix this. Let's get together and fix it. Does that sound familiar? Okay, keep going. Verse 2. Psalm 1, verse 2. But his delight, is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord, which is a way of the Lord. And his law, and he meditates on it all the time, day and night. So this is being of God. Of God. Yes, you can do this. Of course you can. He shall be, what? Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Sound familiar? That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And that doesn't mean get a new Cadillac every 5 months. It does mean to bear fruit, though. That's what that does mean. Oh, okay. Well, that's a nice interpretation of it, but I'm not real sure that means me. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, please. So our first idea here, our first thought, our first concept is the fruit of God is in select human beings right now. The fruit of God, the essence of God, the life of God, the way of God, of God, is in human beings. Some of them right now. Proverbs 11. Does this apply to you and me? Proverbs 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of righteousness, which doesn't come from humans. The fruit of the righteousness is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. Two completely unrelated points in one verse. Or maybe they're not unrelated. Little clue here as to what we're really talking about. Anybody in here hear God speak from the sky yesterday? Or last week? Or a year ago? Did you hear God talking to mankind? God doesn't do that. I wonder how he talks to mankind. Well, he just ignores them. That's it. He doesn't tell them anything. Really? He told his church to do that. Well, how's he do it? So that's your first thought, your first point. The fruit of God is in select human beings right now. Second point. There's only 72 points, so don't worry about it. We'll get to it. Second point. The fruit of the works and the words, the fruit of the works and the words are of God. We don't get credit. The fruit of the works and the words are of God. Any fellas in here went through spokesman or grad club, and then somebody'd sit down after an evaluation, and they'd say, oh, that was a wonderful, wonderful speech. That was just powerful. That was amazing. And then they'd say, oh, it was God who did that. It was God who did that. It was God who did this. Depends on the translation, but there is, talk to me after, I'll find it for you, but there's a place where we don't find that God brings us here. There is a place in Psalms, I think it's 6th, 7th Psalm, somewhere in there. His people assemble around him, and for their sake he rules over them. Now there's a thought. We grow up, and we get up and we assemble around him because we know where he's going to be and we know what he wants and we know what he's going to do, and we go there to be there with him. We assemble around him, and for our sakes, us, our pitiful people, for our sakes, he rules over us. Doesn't do that with everybody. So the fruit of the works and the words are of God. Christ himself said that. John 14. John 14. Now we read this and we say, well, yeah, but that's Jesus Christ talking like that. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. John 14. The work of the Father is done of and by the Spirit through Christ's words. What? Oh, yeah. The work of the Father is done of and by the Spirit through Christ's words. John 14, verse 10. John 14, 10. You want to study your Bible? Here's a good reason. John 14, 10. He's speaking to the Pharisees here. Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words I speak to you, He wrote the Bible. The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. This was done by God here, what we're doing here. Well, you know, we found the hall and we set up a sound system and we have organization and stuff. This is done. This was done by God. It's being done by God right now. This is what he's telling you and me. Now, the Spirit gives life. Here's a remarkable thing about your Bible. John 6. This is a remarkable thing. When people hear this in God's church, they go, you don't mean, yes, we mean this. John 6, verse 63. Do you mean this? Yes, we mean this. John 6, 63. It is, in verse 63 of John 6, it is the Spirit which, or that, gives life. Okay. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit. The words in this book on your lap are spirit. But there's more. And they are life. You're literally looking at living information. Without getting into this too far, one proof of creation is this. One that everybody could understand, I guess, with all these different technologies and Instagram and the interweb and all that stuff. Take a DVD, blank DVD, brand new one, if you can find one. They don't make them anymore. DVD that's blank, nothing on it. And fill it with movies and TV shows and put them on there. But before you do that, weigh it. Just weigh it. And then you put all the movies on there, and you put on the Library of Congress on. It's all on there. Now weigh it again. You know the difference? What you'll find? No difference. Why would that be? It's because information has no mass. It's spirit. The information on your lap has no mass. It's spirit, and it's life. That's why you study your Bible. You want life? It's in there. So we're to be imitators, disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. So the life of God is in some human beings who are of God. Oh, okay. And the fruit and the works are of God, not us. But he has put his spirit and his fruit working through human beings. Now, I wonder why he'd do that. Well, so that we can be in the kingdom. Okay. You know, he's pretty smart. He doesn't really do anything for one reason. Be an interesting fellow to sit down, don't you think? Would he be personable? Would you like him? You say, why are we doing this? Well, let me give you a list. Not just one thing. It's not to be in the kingdom only. There's other things. Starting when? Now. Or we won't be there. It starts now. Here, the judgment of the house is on the house of God now. Or we won't be there. So, Christ said something odd. Although it makes sense about him. Let's turn back to Matthew 5. He's talking about himself to his disciples. He did that once in a while. He's talking about himself. He talked about the Father mostly, but he talked about himself a little bit. And he was talking about himself to the disciples. And there are these called out ones then, back then, and there are now 2,000 years later, some called out ones. And they are called out of God and of Jesus Christ to example God life, if you will. God life, not human life, but God life. On earth today, where God shows his way to humanity. God shows his way to humanity by his essence in a human being. Christ said, As long as I'm with you, I'm the light of the world. There was no other light in the world. He came and there was darkness and he was the light of the world, right? As long as I'm with you, though. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, 14. And then he said, Matthew 5, 14, you are the light of the world. A city that's set on the hill can't be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light, that light of God that's in you, so shine before men that they may see your good works and say what a nice person you are. That got laughter, didn't it? Why would that get laughter? Because you know that's not right. You know that's not right. You know that isn't even sane. And yet we'll do it. Stop. Don't do it. Let me ask you something. How would that actually work? Come on, really. How would that work? Because we know that human beings aren't going to listen to this. We know better than that. They're not going to pay attention. This God has to open their minds. They don't want to know about it. Hey, come on. They killed Christ for talking about this. They don't want to know this stuff. How does God look at those people? Well, he's going to crush them. He's going to teach them a lesson. When he comes back, they're going to get theirs. Really. How does God actually look at human beings? What's he actually thinking as he looks at human beings? Well, there's a short answer and there's a long answer. Let's take the short one. We're going to run out of time and they're going to come up here with a hook. So, let's turn back to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. Thank you, Jerry, for ending early. You did a nice job there, fella. Hebrews 2. By the way, this is a whole big thing. This comes out of, I believe it's 22nd Psalm, but the Hebrews 2 is quoted in 22nd, or vice versa. The 22nd Psalm is quoted in Hebrews 2. But it isn't finished in 22nd Psalm. It's finished here. What's being said is finished here. So let's talk about this. Hebrews 2 and verse 7, speaking about human beings. This is not speaking about the church necessarily, speaking about human beings. You made him, human beings, a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory. What? You crowned him with glory and with honor and set him over the works of your hands, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, of course, we see that in Genesis where God says, you know, I have put you over the whole earth. Subdue it, subject it, be subjective to it, or it to you. He said something else. And bring forth much fruit. That's what he said to Adam and Eve. But here then, it keeps going. For in verse 8, he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put in under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. We see Jesus, who is made a little lower, or a little while lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. But go back a minute to verse 7. Human beings are crowned with glory and honor, and it's going to come to mankind what God has actually done here. Human beings are meant to become members of God's family. That's how he crowned them. They just don't know it. That's how he looks at them. How did I get here? How did you get here? You were crowned with glory and honor, and God picked you, literally picked a hold of you, and pulled you out of that mess. Because in this case, your time is now. But everybody is crowned with glory and honor in his eyes. Otherwise, why would you die for them? Okay. Glorious humans, honorable humans, who don't know they're glorious, who don't know they're honorable, the created by God to be members of God's family, and so the third point. Second point being the fruit of the works, and the words are of God, and the first point is that God is in some human beings right now. Third point is, how does God communicate with these folks that he has given glory and honor to? Beyond Today magazine. Okay. The television program. Okay. The website. All right, good. That's how he communicates with them. Really? Is that all, though? John 15. You maybe it's occurred to you, this seems like a kind of a funny thing to have at the Feast of Tabernacles, except that this connects you and your life and this moment to eternity. Because if you hear this, if we actually are allow God to talk to us about this, we're having an adult conversation with God right now. If we allow him to talk to us, we'll become servants. And we'll stop seeing ourselves as God's servants, but of God. We'll be of God. John 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4. You stay with me. You abide in me. And I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, there's nothing in me. I can't give you anything. And neither can you give me anything. But we can allow God to give each other himself. And ultimately, more will be touched. I'm the vine, and you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words, the living words of God, the spiritual truth, life words of God, abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Oh boy, I get a new Cadillac. No. Because you won't do that, because you're of God. You'll stop doing that stuff. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my imitators, my disciples. What fruit? Galatians 5 fruit. There will be more love, joy, patience, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. Than there was before it happened through you. And you won't hide your light. The world will see this. And you won't get in somebody's face when they say, why do you go to that thing? Let me tell you what God's doing, you'll say. What it ultimately comes down to, I hope I can get through this. We're going to end on this. What it ultimately comes down to is what God sees this assembly to be. We're the trees of life now. And we will be the trees of life in the kingdom. And the spirit essence of the Father is an example to the world of his way of life. And we do that by grace. We can't earn that. And we don't earn this place in his plan. He gives us that. We are to know and to be responsible to bear much fruit. Why? Because humanity has to be shown God in humans. That's how he's communicating with those who are crowned with glory and honor. This isn't for you. This isn't for me. It's for them. What's this training for anyway? For them. That's why we're doing this now. Well, I sure like to have a better position in the church. It's for them. Forget this stuff. It's about mankind. That's who Christ died for. The called out ones of God are the trees where humanity may begin to understand and contact eternal life. You are that place to some people. I can touch you and take of the fruit of life from you. The fruit of God's in select humans right now. The fruit of the words and works are of God, and we're told to bear much fruit. I hope I can get through this. Psalm 87. Dr. Ward said he has a hard time with this, and I understand why. There's a time coming where there is an accounting, kind of, well, you know, a measuring, if you will, of what happened during this time. Now, you know this already. We're going to be born completely into the kingdom, into the family of God, born into the family of God. And after that's over, you will have been born. You will have been a human, but you're not anymore. You will have been born into the family of God. Now, this is something in code, if you will, in God's way of speaking, but we're going to see it. The world can't get this. So we're going to look at a code. Let's start here. Is the church Zion? Yes. Zion, in many ways, is reflected as the church. It's a symbol of God's holy people. Okay? That's where we start. You have come to Mount Zion, right? To the assembly of the righteous. Okay? All right? The church is Zion. Psalm 87. Let's see if we can go through it. Psalm 87. I can find it. Here we go. Verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountains. So there are holy, separated nations, and his foundation is in there. That's interesting. Then verse 2. The Lord loves the gates of Zion. The gates of Zion. More than the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. And Selah means think about it. Consider it. Rise up and think about it. Verse 4. I will make mention, this is God saying this, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to those who know me. That's us. Behold, O Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion, it will be said, this one, and that one, were born in her. You are being born now, ultimately, completely, and the record will say, this place, glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. This one and that one were born in her. The world will know what you've done. You are part of the trees of life.